Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of Back to the Clubs with me, Major K. I'm a DJ, producer, and record label owner, and in this series, I'm talking to other DJs about their club experiences. What got them interested in dance music? Which club blew them away? And what gets wetter the more it dries? The answer to that is a towel. The answers to the other questions are often surprising. Previous guests include Nico Parisi, Insulate and Hassan Ghazi last week. Today, it's Mike Bush. Before we introduce him, be sure to subscribe to Back to the Clubs in your podcast app. Give the show a raving rating too. It helps more people find the podcast. In your podcast app, you can also find my weekly mix podcast, Flash Forward Presents with Major K. And at Official Major K is my handle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and TikTok. And now, Mike Bush. We've known each other for a long time, as he is a fellow Belgian and always has been very supportive to what I wanted to do in the dance music scene. Though I don't dabble in trance like he does myself. Universal Nation is still one of my all-time favorite tracks, that's for sure. For the past couple of decades, Mike has been living in New York, but always comes back to tour Belgium and Europe whenever he can. And last summer, we met up at Tomorrowland again. The interview coming up dates from that time, so July 2023. Enjoy the show! Here we go!
Back to the clubs with Major K.
So yeah, back to the clubs with one of my favorite guests of all time. It's none other than Mike Bush. Yeah, you can hear him in the background already. Not recorded online, not on Squadcast, but in a studio in Belgium. So yeah, it's a bit strange to say welcome, Mike, because this is your base here in Belgium for the time being, and I'm the guest.
Yes, when I'm in Belgium throughout the summer, because I live in New York now for many years, when I come down here for 2 months playing the festivals, I try to take the best out of it and work in a studio on projects.
Is that something that you regularly do while you're on tour that you're producing?
Not always, but when I stay like 2 months here, I try to make the best out of it and catch up with projects I started in my own studio, and I take along the inspiration from the festivals and the clubs I'm playing.
The summer, it's been a good summer for you. What kind of festivals have you been playing at?
Oh, it's been extremely busy, from Luminosity to Beauville Festival, Hypodream, just played three times Tomorrowland, and we still have a lot of great things coming up, like Camping Kitsch, Land of Love, Ten Dance, and of course Creamfields in the UK.
Oh, Creamfields. Is that your first time at Creamfields?
Actually, the third year in a row playing there now, so I'm pretty excited again, yeah.
You have that experience, you know, seeing all the festivals. What's your favorite?
Tomorrowland. Not because it's Belgium, but there is something different about being at Tomorrowland. It's just a vibe. You catch up with artists you don't see many often, or you just catch up with friends and the fans. So yeah, it has to be Tomorrowland.
Of course, this podcast doesn't concern itself that much with festivals. It's more about the clubs, the club life, and your club experiences. So let's just dive right into that. First question, what's the first club you ever went to?
The first club I ever, ever in my life went to, I was 15 years old. The club was called The Newin, in the city of Bertrix, which is in the Ardennes, in the Belgian Ardennes. And it was 1988. I was 15 years old. I was allowed to drink a Coke, and I had to leave at 12 o'clock, literally. Yeah. So it was a club that was attached to a camping ground. And yeah, so it was basically 14s. And I think it at 1 o'clock, everyone was kicked out, and then the adults came in.
What kind of music did they play there?
I remember one of my favorites in those days, jazz, The Only Way Is Up, jazz, and The Plastic Population, The Only Way Is Up. I remember I loved it. It was Cold Cut, you know, it was the days when I only learned later on that it was called house music and Chicago house, which later on fused in with New Beat and then became, you know, house, trance, and whatever. So that was my first experience with electronic music.
So you could say that your career that followed later on got kickstarted over there?
Well, not really. It was my first experience with a club, because it was really a club. It has a DJ booth and a DJ. So for me, that's a club. And then later on, I was 17 years old. I went to another club called Vredenburg in Kalmthout near Antwerp. And then I started really to see the trickery DJs were doing, which was playing with two turntables, mixing. And then I was really intrigued by that.
And did you start DJing yourself and practice? Was that a possibility for you, or did that come later on?
Yeah, I didn't really have the money I could ask my parents for turntables, because in those days there was no such thing like, oh, can I have turntables for Christmas? They were like, wait, what? So I had something called the Lenko, which is an old turntable, and it had like a pitch, but that was only one. And then, but I did buy records already, but I did not know how to mix back then, no.
When did that came about then?
I think when I came to a friend's house, I remember he had like a DJ booth from his father, because his father used to play weddings. And on weekdays, I think they would set up the DJ booth in his bedroom, I remember. And it was in a friend's house near Antwerp. And then we would just play with the records he had, quite commercial. Music like Depeche Mode and Yazoo and maybe Front 242 already. But not really dance music.
But then again, you know, it's then when you're a DJ, it's the music that you choose, that's for sure. But it's the technique as well. And that's something that you kind of, well, could practice at that moment already.
Yeah, but I think I learned mixing when I became a producer. I was making music. And back in the early, or the end 90s, early 2000s, we were good to live with the music we were making, and there was not really the need to go on tour. But then we felt like, hey, as producers, let's go on the road as well. So we took our vinyl, and literally while going on the roads, I learned how to mix. So it was traveling, learning, making mistakes, and get better each time.
So you could say that you were a producer first and foremost, and then a DJ?
Yeah, self-taught producer, and the same for DJing. I never went somewhere to practice. I literally just had that, how they say in German, Fingerspitzengefühl, I think.
That's a really nice word, by the way, Fingerspitzengefühl.
Yeah, so I kind of think it was just like, yeah, that you got the feeling you can do it or you can't, I guess. So it's that's how it happened for me, and that's the honest truth.
So how far along were you in that process as a producer and as a DJ when your universally praised Universal Nation came about?
I started really DJing hard after Universal Nation came out, because there was a demand that people wanted to see, demand behind the music. So for us, the early 2000s was the way to explore the world and then come out, because people want to see who's the face behind the music. So we went on the road with our vinyl, and then later on with CDJs, with our CDs. So I didn't really pay attention of playing music. For me, it was first, I wanted to see other DJs playing my music. But then I noticed that they were getting away with the credits of making the people crazy. And I was like, hey, it's actually me doing the music, so I want to get out there.
You mentioned vinyl, you mentioned CDJs, the digital way of playing a set. Maybe a good time to already ask, what's your preference?
Going on the road with a USB stick, I guess, is the easiest way. I think it was 6 months ago, I played a set with vinyl again in the UK for a big event called Colors. And it was very amusing, because I did forget my records in Belgium again. So I asked my friend in the UK, the Thrill Seekers, if I could borrow some records. And he goes to me like, Mike, I have almost all your records. So I took together a little pack of my vinyl. And I didn't practice at all anything. I just went on stage, played the vinyl, and it went like smooth, like it was like back in the early days. So again, it's you have it or you don't, I guess. But now the art of DJing is so completely different than back in the days. Now you have to come up with techniques the way of, I think now it's more about how you blend music together, and that's how you bring the, you know, something special on the dance floor.
Yeah. Does that mean you need to mix faster, or what are the special effects that you use?
Not really. I think it's really about, I like to blend genres all together. So when they're saying that you have the DJ schools, I think it's more aimed at amateur and having a good time and knowing what's behind a good DJ. But I think a good DJ still consists out of how you bring a sound and atmosphere to the dance floor. That cannot be thought, I think, something you just have to experience.
And you experienced that for sure for a long time. We already talked about your first club experience as just a club goer. What was your first club experience as a DJ?
I think that must have been the real DJ job that I had was in Germany, actually. In Saarbrücken, in a club called X-Dream. That was in 1994. A couple records out, more ravey, hardcore sounds. And then back in those days, rave was really hard, hitting hard in Germany. And we had a label with USA Import in Antwerp called Zombie Records. The name says it all. So the music was quite hard. And that brought me to Germany. And that was actually my first show. I even remember, I think I made like 300 euros, which did include a car rental and hotel. So basically nothing left.
But those days. Has that changed? Are you better taken care of right now? Is that kind of become more standard that you have you need to get someplace, so people should, when they book you, make sure that you get there?
Yeah, but back in the days, it was so different. I mean, we would be happy to go and play out if you would be asked to come and play at a club, so... At the end, I didn't really mind. I had nothing left. We didn't think of, you know, this is it. When you had a record out, that was more important than going out to a club at that time. So now it's the other way around. Now you need to go perform out to support your music.
Yeah. Do you remember what the club in Germany was like? What it looked like?
It was huge. Oh my God, X-Dream. I think there was like 3,000 people in it. Probably like lasers, and I remember it was a huge DJ booth. We were dressed like in Adidas and Puma, so there was not really like any clubbing thing yet, like dress codes, I would say. You would come on, you would play, you would drink, you would act stupid, and then go. Yeah.
And make sure that the people in the house had the best time of their life, right?
Yeah. I can't really remember much of my set because I remember I was going total loss, and it was my first real DJ gig, and it was outside Belgium, so it was an experience.
I can imagine that would be an experience, of course. You talked a little bit about what the club looked like and that there were lasers and stuff like that. Nowadays, we're 2023. What does a good club need to excel to be right on top of their game?
Not many lasers, just a good crowd, good atmosphere, good sound system. I think a club cares more now about sound system than lasers and LED screens. But then that's literally like an underground club. I mean, we're not talking about things like that Eric Fritz does or Tale of Us. That's a different level of clubbing. But the real underground clubs, I don't think they really care much still. Like the early days, just a good sound, good vibe. Not much care about having lasers and stuff. Just the atmosphere that counts.
Good atmosphere, good sound system. It is important, and I know that at Tomorrowland, for instance, that they experiment with that as well. In some of the tents, they have like a real surround kind of, or like an environment where the speakers are positioned in that way that you're really in the sound. So yeah, that's a next step, I think.
Maybe, yeah, surround kind of 5.1 surround atmosphere mixing stuff. But yeah, that's also the producer has to lay the foundation in that kind of music, because that needs to be processed proper in the sound system.
Another question is about your DJ sets. You talked about the first one, of course, a first DJ set, and especially if that's one abroad already, yeah, that's memorable. But is there another one in your illustrious career that you think, well, this one really stands out, this one was where I really kind of peaked or felt best about the set that I played?
Oh, that's so hard. I played so many shows in so many countries, so many clubs, festivals. I cannot really point out one, because every country has a different atmosphere. Clubbers are different. The music you play can be different. Most of the clubs, I always have a really good feeling, and I always blessed to be there. And when I see people leaving the clubs or the night with a smile, I guess that's for me the most important thing.
So there's not one particular night or one club that really stands out that you thought, well, never thought I would get here and play this stage or this club. So
it's so many. Yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I closed Tomorrowland, which was the first and the second edition. Thinking now of it, obviously that was memorable, but then there is other club nights like Gatecrusher and God's Kitchen in the UK. Here in Belgium, Isle of Techno, which I did early 2000s. I did Push Live. I remember that was one for the books. After me was Carl Cox playing, and I remember he was applauding me on the stage like, wow, this is wicked, man. Like that kind of attitude. So maybe Isle of Techno, that one I played with Push Live, that might be one that's definitely on page one of the book.
You've been talking about yourself as a DJ now and those memorable experiences that you have or had. Is there someone that you kind of saw doing a set and that you thought, well, this really blows my mind?
Again, also a tough one, because in the beginning when we used to play with vinyl and CDJs, you would arrive at the club early, you would check out what's the other DJ playing, so you go in the same flow. Nowadays it's different. You literally come 5 to 10 minutes before a DJ finishes on stage. It's almost like fast food sometimes, I have to say, unfortunately, but that's the way how it also goes in the industry. Now it's very fast paced. But back then I could sometimes hang out and enjoy sets from the likes of Carl Cox, Sasha, Oliver Leap. Who said did I hear lately that I was really impressed with? Just those guys, many.
Is there a club that you visited the most, perhaps as just a party goer? Were you a party goer, really a party goer, or do you prefer standing, having the control of the DJ booth?
When I used to go to the clubs, I was going to listen to the music. I didn't care about dancing on the dance floor. I was just having a Coke or water, listening to the music, and I would write down if there was a certain track I like. I was quite early in my career in the flow of being a DJ and a producer, so not really attended the club because I was a clubber, but I went more because I was an artist already. So I missed a little bit that experience as a clubber, but I saw people clubbing on my music, and that's also on another level.
Yeah. And so is there a club that you visited the most as a DJ then?
In Belgium, definitely Extreme. In Affligem would be my favorite, I would say. Sherry Moon in the early days. Illusion as well. But I think if I have to praise my number one club in Belgium back then, would be Extreme.
Yeah. What was so special about Extreme?
It was trance, progressive trance, which also kind of defined my sound at the time. And we were at the forefront of that sound. And it was that club in Belgium who picked up the sound we were doing. Because you had Cherry Moon, which was a harder sound, with the likes of Ghost and Yves de Ruyter. And then you had Fuse, which was really techno. You had the scene in Ghent also was quite techno. In Antwerp, more housey, like La Rocca. So you had only a few clubs playing trance. There was Illusion or Extreme. And then Zillion later on, don't forget, even though it's considered a crossover club, but they played mainly trance. So definitely Extreme.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned that you live in New York. What's club life like over there? Not that you necessarily go to those clubs, but is it comparable to what we know in, for instance, London, well, even Belgium, of course, but what's it like?
This would be a good question to my wife, because I only live 13 years in New York now, since 2010, and the club scene that was thriving in New York was way before that. So I did not really experience it, although I played in New York, in Pasha, I played in the Limelight, but you had so many amazing clubs in New York. So again, a great question for my wife. But I didn't go, unfortunately, clubbing that much in New York. But the sound would go from house to trance to techno, I would say. Theme nights, that's what they mostly program there, based around the DJ.
You know a lot of DJs, colleagues in your field, in trance, techno, and other genres. When you talk to them, do you get a feel that there's one club nowadays that stands out, that they say, well, this is really the best club in the world at this moment?
No, because the mindset is so on festivals, although there's so much clubs, but it's mainly like in Germany and Spain, Italy a lot. I know and see, but I'm not playing there that much because I play more at the side of Belgium, Holland, and England mostly. But a club that really catch my attention and I was fortunate to play, and it's not because it's Belgium, but it's Compass Club. I think that's one of the best clubs I played the past years. When talking clubs, that was the place. And I did a back-to-back with Joy Hauser half a year ago. And in terms of club experience, that must be one of the best club experiences from the past year. Yeah, definitely.
Because it has that really industrial feel to it. It's low ceiling, great vibe, a lot of energy over there. I guess you experienced that as well during your set.
Underground to the top. So now they moved. So I don't know their new location. They're going to announce it in September. I should be back there next year, but it's in terms of clubs. And again, coincidence, it's in Belgium. But this was the best underground club I played the past 15 years. No joke.
Yeah, it was amazing. I saw some DJs playing there. I didn't miss your set, though.
Many played there. Ranier Zonneveld played there lately. Nina Kravitz. Charlotte DeWitt played there a couple years ago. Amelie Lenz passed there a couple months ago. All the big guys go there. So it's really, they want to go for that atmosphere.
So I guess you're looking forward to another Compass Club gig. But apart from that one, is there a club that you really want to play in that you haven't played in before?
Oh, you know, clubs come and go lately, because for me, my career, I do mostly, I would say, 75% festivals, which is also fine, but it's different than the club experience. Berghain, I think, in Berlin will be something special, probably. But there's so many clubs still in the world that stand out. I will have to make a list.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned that, like, perhaps that there's a shift towards more festivals, more festival life, rather than clubs.
Yeah, that's also where they book me, and it also has to do with the way your agent works, of course. But it's also the demand and the kind of DJ you are. And I think the sound that I represent maybe feels a little bit more accessible to festivals instead than clubs. Even though in clubs it works fine. But again, I think festivals is more a safer place for what I'm doing. I mean, I think it all has to do a bit with the sound, because I have a very wide range of styles of music I'm playing. And in the club, you really stick to the really underground kind of thing. And yeah, it's different.
It's not that you think that the era of clubs is over.
No, it's coming back. But it's also, you know, you have to be honest, it's also business from a business point of view. I mean, you tour, you have to make money. Promoters need to make money. It's not always easy to bring me from New York to Europe. Again, even though I'm from Belgium, in the summer it's way easier. But it has to do, it's factors like a tendency when people comes, the cities, the kind of music you play. And there's so many artists and DJs out there lately. So sometimes we are crawling on top of each other. So it's festivals kind of puts that away because they need to fill the stages, which is completely different.
Okay, and what can we expect from you in the next period? Because you've done a lot of clubs, you've done a lot of hit records, good collaborations. Are those the things that you're looking forward to as well in the future?
There's a lot of music coming up, a lot of push tracks, which is now more my main focus. Releases coming up on Armada, Hypnostate, Codex, working something for Drum Code hopefully soon, maybe a new collab with Joy Hauser again. We're talking about that, and there is something big coming up on the label from Charlotte DeWitt, so that should be nice, something towards the end of the year. So yeah, there's a lot of cooking in my kitchen.
Well, we're going to taste it in the near future, and it's going to be delicious, I think. Thank you, Mike Bush, for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks, Kevin.
Awesome guy, Mike Bush, and a good friend. Don't forget to subscribe to Back to the Clubs in your podcast app and find me as @OfficialMajorK on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and TikTok. Go get your Back to the Clubs logo t-shirt. They're really awesome, those Back to the Clubs logo t-shirts, on dancemusicmerch.com. That's dancemusicmerch.com, and support the show. Next week in Back to the Clubs, Nico Morano. As always, I'm looking forward to that chat. For now, see you next time and enjoy the sunshine. Bye-bye.
Back to the Clubs with Major K.